Augusta, a Perry Broadcasting Station.
Hello and welcome to Speaking With Carl Thornton Jr. Good to be back with you. Glad we're back together. I want to again thank Gregory Stafford for our theme song entitled No One Else. He is the composer and the performer of the music. And I want to thank you for joining me again as we get ready to take a look at what's happening with regards to our climate. We only have one, so we need to care about it. We need to take care of it. Care about it enough to truly take care of it. And of course, it needs to be a team effort. Yes, what one person does can make a difference. What five people do can make a difference. What 1,000 people do can really make a bigger difference. But what tens of millions are doing together. Tens of millions are doing together to help care for our climate can make a huge difference. I want to thank the many, many people at the various homes across the nation, around the world, various business leaders who are taking it upon themselves to do something good for our climate, the many, many people, the many walks of life who are doing what needs to be done to take care of our climate. Thank you very much. I mean that. Thank you very much. We truly only have one climate. And when we do enough damage to it. Now, one of the questions that we really do have a right to ask, we may even have a responsibility for asking, is this. Are there people on the earth, not only in America, but in various parts of the world, who really do want that which is worse, the worst for our climate to take place? And I know some people might be thinking, oh, come on now. Who would want to do bad stuff to our climate? Well, who would want to do bad stuff to our waters? Do we have leaders who make the decision to dump contaminants, pollutants into our waters? Well, that might answer your question. Who would want to damage our waters, do harm to our waters? Think about the situation within Flint, Michigan. And we find out that Flint, Michigan was certainly in the spotlight, but it's not only Flint, Michigan, where we had decision makers who made the decision that they preferred to contaminate the water, drinking water, with lead. And so that's what they did. Who would want to do harm to our waters? Who would want to do harm to our air? Well, do we have people who fight hard against taking steps to reduce air pollution? Do we have people who use the excuse that in order to reduce air pollution, companies would have to put up with a lot of cost? Despite the fact that we keep getting report after report after report that makes it clear that in the long run, companies end up saving much more money than they start out spending when they take the steps necessary to take good care of our air and our water, to be responsible with regards to what they do with our climate. And yet we have people who keep fighting against that, and they keep coming up with excuse after excuse, usually the same excuses, to go ahead and continue to pollute our air. Who would want to pollute our grounds? And when we look at these matters and we think about what we already know, it's easy for us to conclude that there are a lot of people, and not just leaders, but there are a whole lot of folks who support the leaders' positions, who really want our ground messed up and our air messed up and our water messed up. You might say, well, who would do that? I mean, who would want to mess up the very stuff that they need? Well, who would want to mess up what could be a beautiful relationship? I'm thinking about marriage now. Who would want to mess up, to make a mess of what could be a beautiful marriage? They're married to someone who truly loves them, truly honors them, and truly wants the relationship to be one that is mutually beneficial and mutually fulfilling. Who would want to mess something like that up? Knowing that if they mess it up, the drama that comes about as a result is going to have a negative impact on them too. Who would want to bring that on themselves? Who would want to go through the drama of devastating their children as the children hear the parents arguing and fussing and fighting? They see the parents becoming more and more distant towards each other instead of coming closer and being affectionate towards each other. And the children are devastated. Who would want to do that to their children by being unfaithful to the children's other parent? Plenty of men, plenty of women would want to do that, would much rather do that than remain faithful to their spouse. Who would want to bring hardship on themselves by making bad decisions in business, by making bad decisions about drug use? And it's impossible to get into drug use without bringing harm on yourself. Who would want to bring hardship on their own children and their own grandchildren by making decisions to harm the one earth, the one climate that we have? It's so amazing to watch people make decisions. I mean, who would want to teach their children how to be criminals? Who would want to teach their children that they have very little worth, very little value by pimping their own children? Who would want to help their child begin a journey down a dark path of destruction by introducing their children to drugs? Who would want to do that? See, what we have to realize is just because something doesn't make sense, that doesn't mean there's no one who wants to do it. There are plenty of people all around the world who want to do things that make no sense. Why weaken an entire race of people, an entire ethnic group, when weakening that ethnic group overall weakens the nation, the entire nation in which that ethnic group lives? That makes no sense, but there are plenty of people who want that. I remember sharing with you all just a few days ago Lee Atwater's position as he was sharing with Ronald Reagan some ways that former President Reagan could go about hurting black people. And one of the things that Lee Atwater pointed out was that, you know, we want to make sure that he wanted to share with Ronald Reagan ways of talking that would stir up and fire up their base. He said, you can no longer use the N-word. He didn't say the N-word. He actually said the word, but I'm not going to say the word. any more than I'm going to use some of those derogatory terms that people use to describe poor white people. That is ugly. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say that N-word either. But he said the word. And so Lee said, you can't say the N-word anymore because people don't accept that anymore. It's out of fashion. That'll backfire against you. He knows, because he knew that often all you had to do was use that word and it would stir up that hatred, that malice, that hostility, not fear, hatred and malice and hostility that was in the hearts of so many people. He said, instead of using that word now, what you do is you talk about things like states' rights and tax cuts, and you do those things. And he was letting President Reagan know, you talk like that, and eventually our people will know what you're saying. Now, I know all that's economic stuff. He went on to say, this is in the documentary, 13th, the 13th Amendment. He said, now, when you start doing these things, you start implementing states' rights and implementing tax cuts, he says, I know that's going to hurt a lot of white people, but it's going to hurt black people more. You get it? Who would want to hurt their own ethnic group? How about someone who wants to hurt another ethnic group more? Yeah, who would want to do that? Well, there are plenty of people who would want to do that. And he gets, the strategy has been working for years and years. States' rights, tax cuts. Who has been hurt? White people have definitely been hurt by tax cuts. You think about what that has done to the educational programs all around the earth, all across the country, all across the community in which you live. Tax cuts. Keep cutting your revenues. Keep reducing the amount of money that you have to spend on necessities. And a lot of white people have been hurt as a result of that policy, that strategy. But black people have indeed been hurt more. But that takes us back to what I was saying before, what I've said previously. No situation creates itself. People create the situations we find ourselves in. And so you have people of all ethnicities hurting financially because of policies put into play by our policymakers, as a result of decisions that the constituents have, that this is the kind of person I want in office. Who would hurt themselves just for the chance, the opportunity to hurt someone else worse? Plenty of people all across the country. So who would want to hurt the Earth's climate? Plenty of people. Center for Climate and Energy Solutions shares with us some information, though, that is much more encouraging than that. Wall Street, taking a look at low carbon investments and seeing something positive. Wall Street, low carbon investments, and the two coming together. As climate change leadership takes on a new face, businesses are taking on greater significance and responsibility in leading the way. Seeing utilities adopting more low and zero carbon generation sources. Manufacturers are investing in electrification and fuel cell technologies. And financial institutions are finding ways to satisfy consumer demand for climate-friendly options. Investors are increasingly interested in financial products that include an evaluation of a company's performance on matters that are related to environmental, social, and governance issues that take into account considerations of labor practices, human rights, corporate governance, and environmental impacts. Environmental, social, and governance issues, ESGs. ESGs, environmental, social, and governance issues. Strong performance on ESG issues may also influence the long-term financial performance of a company. Experience suggests that many companies that perform well on ESG issues offer opportunities for lower volatility and higher long-term financial returns for investors. More broadly, the public's perception of the role of business in society continues to evolve as both consumers and investors increasingly expect businesses to adopt sustainable practices. I want to ask you something. When you go out nowadays, I'm saying you go out, when you travel, whether it's for business, for pleasure, you're out of town, or even if you just want to do something quick and easy, you don't really want to be on the road for even 2 hours. You just want to get out of the house for 2 or 3 days, and you're going to a hotel that's right there in town. So whether you're going to a place right there in town, or you're going to travel for 3 or 4 hours, you're going to fly across country, wherever you're going, you're going to stay in a hotel. How many of you look for hotels that are environmentally conscious and are doing things to take better care of our environment? A lot of people are doing that. Taken together, these trends have led to a growing market for ESG indices, which are financial products that evaluate companies based on environmental, social, and governance issues factors. More on this in just a few.